The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, DK Network, of course. We appreciate it. However, you're taking us in this morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Friday football. How you doing, man?
Good. Did you know Taylor Swift and Jason Kelce were dating?
Travis Kelce.
Messed it up. Right off the top.
I'm done
for the day.
Yeah, how long did you have that joke planned for? Yeah, the little intro?
I just pulled up ESPN and saw her.
Botch. Botch from the beginning. This is almost as good as the start of Guessing Lines on Monday. We're off to a flying start.
They're 10.5-point favorites. Gil, what do you like here? What's the number here?
We got college football today with Dr. Bob from an analytics standpoint. And of course, Chris Felica, the Bear. Analytical as well. Maybe not quite as analytical as Bob in terms of his reasoning, but he likes analytics as well. NFL with Matt Brown joining us. And today is the field goal. After the show today, he's kicking the field goal.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, what is this, 2 years in the making on
if
this?
It's thing? Not too cold. We'll have to see.
That's right. He already pushed back the time. He's like, oh, it's a little too dark now. We'll see if that happens. The field goal challenge for Matt Brown. But that's all fair. He'll join us to talk NFL week number six. Kelly and I will go over all of our bets as well. Whole bunch yesterday in sports. Where do you want to start? You want to start with football? You want to start with baseball? Start with football.
All right. Let's do that.
Sean Payton, who famously said about Nathaniel Hackett this offseason, one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. Hell, you know what a narcissist does, Kelly? They call someone else a name that really applies to them, or they describe him as something that really applies to them. It's getting there for Sean Payton. Broncos lose to the Chiefs. Don't cover either. They lose 19-8 in, how could I put this? A really Dullsville NFL football game where you juxtapose it against the Braves and the Phillies last night. But I just want to focus on a couple of things. First of all, Russell Wilson, 13 of 22 for 95. One touchdown, two picks, and it was sacked four times. The Broncos mustered 197 total yards of offense. They were out gained 389 to 197. But I want to focus in on that sequence at the end of the second half for those who missed it.
Real quick, oh, yeah, you know please. What's really sad about those Russell Wilson numbers is 95 total yards passing, and most of that was in garbage time.
Really. Yeah, most in garbage. There was a point in, before this sequence that I'm about to talk about. So this is with 47 seconds left in the second quarter. At that point, he was 5 of 8 for 17 yards and a pick.
Yep.
So Denver gets the ball down 10 to nothing.
And at this point, I changed the channel.
Oh, like I said yesterday.
Well, I changed the channel because it's halftime, right? Right. It's going to be halftime.
Sure. Denver gets him 47 seconds left. They want to matriculate the ball down the field, I guess. And their second down play ends at 34 seconds. And the clock just haphazardly keeps going 6-7 more seconds. 6 to be nice to Payton. Really 7 seconds. 27 seconds, it occurs to him. He's like, oh, I should probably call a timeout.
Right.
He calls a timeout. And then on 3rd and 5 of the Denver 44, again, down 10 to nothing. Now you have 27 seconds left. Russell Wilson is sacked anyway.
Okay, now change the channel.
Then Sean Payton, this is where you change the channel.
Yeah, this is where I change the channel.
Well, you shouldn't have changed the channel because Sean Payton said, you know what? I think I'm going to let Kansas City try to do something with this. He inexplicably calls timeout after the third down play with 22 seconds left. He calls the timeout. This is not McDaniel's bad, but it's getting there after what Josh McDaniels did. So they punt and tack on an illegal touch penalty. By the way, Kelly, once again, just a metaphor for life. Illegal touching, not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Kansas City starts their own 34 with 15 seconds left. And you know what Patrick Mahomes, 2 plays, 24 yards, and Butker nails a 60-yard field goal, 13 to nothing. I was hoping that Denver got a second garbage touchdown to make this 19 to 16 and get the 2-point conversion, just so I could come on here and say, and those 3 points with a margin of victory. Instead, 19 to 8, as Butker ends up nailing a 50-plus yard, a 52-yard field goal, just inside the 2-minute warning. That was the final margin of 11. And so Chiefs backers take home the
dough. And this is when I'm in my kitchen then, and I see a notification on my phone.
Oh,
like 13-0 at the half. That's impossible. No way.
You just think, you know, first of all, you have the college football. Mario Cristobal will never be topped. But also Steve Sarkisian, Jimbo Fisher, like just what paying, getting paid millions upon millions of dollars to just botch games. And then you have Josh McDaniels say, hold my beer on Monday night. And then here comes Sean Payton. It just, it never ends. It never ends.
It's okay, Gil. He forgot what down it was.
Congratulations to those who had the Chiefs in Survivor and get to watch the rest of the league perhaps go into carnage, the rest of your Survivor pool.
He's at this point where he's catching so much heat that, like, when he talks about this stuff post-game, he's, like, angry at the world.
Talking about Payton now?
Sean Payton, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, they, like, he talked about, I saw some of the post-game stuff this morning, and he's like, you know, he's like, well, I wouldn't have called a timeout there. I just mixed up the downs. And it's like, well, that's not a better thing, Sean. Like, you shouldn't be telling people this.
I don't want to go on here every week and just murder the guy, but I don't want to kill him, but he deserves to be killed.
Yeah.
Because he's the most arrogant dude ever. You won one Super Bowl with Drew Brees, buddy. You didn't win 10. Relax. And then, of course, the big one for some of us who have futures plays or exact futures plays, the Philadelphia Phillies knock out the Atlanta Braves in four games. They do so with the 3-1 series win last night against Spencer Strider. Ranger Suarez was going toe-to-toe with Strider, the would-be Cy Young candidate. He won't win it, but it would be. And they're down 1-0, solo shot by Nick Castellanos in the bottom of the fourth. Solo shot by Trey Turner in the bottom of the fifth to put the Phillies up 2-1, 2-1, and then another solo shot by Castellanos in the bottom of the sixth. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith, as there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos. It'll be a home run. Do you know that reference, Kelly?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Most do. 3-1, Phillies took the lead, and then it got hairy. Top of the seventh, up 3-1. Phillies walked the bases loaded, and on a what would have been a Kimbrel wild pitch, about as wild as any pitch gets, Pilar fails to score from third, which would have cut the lead to 1 and made this a different ball game. He probably could have gotten home. I'll say 85-90% chance he would have gotten home. Didn't want to make the slightest possibility of it out there, so he went back to third, and what ends up happening is Acuna Jr. flies out to deep left center field, where Johan Rojas had to sort of navigate the wall, having a corner there and left fielder coming at him, and he made the catch for like a split second. Those of us who had Phillies tickets of any kind had our hearts at our throat, but he made the catch, and the Phillies go on to win it, and we now have an American League Championship Series, which begins on Sunday, of course, in Houston. Houston is a slight favorite in that series against the Texas Rangers. But if you go to the National League Series now, this will begin on Monday. What you have is the Phillies are -170 favorites. So these are the DraftKings numbers. Phillies are -170. Astros are -140. Rangers +120 coming back, Diamondbacks +145 coming back on the -170 from the Phillies. But the Phillies number sort of has been all over the place. I think it's open, and I think DraftKings had it at like -155 when it started. There were other places that had it at -190. It sort of settled in the middle here. And interestingly, so I'm thinking, is my Phillies over Astros then ergo the short shot in terms of a World Series exacta? It is not. The Astros beating the Phillies at DraftKings, by the way, remains a slight short shot, which is curious. That's +390. The Phillies beating the Astros is +425. Can you guess what the long shot exacta is currently now that we're down to the final four teams?
Oh, come on, man. Yeah, Diamondbacks over Rangers.
Correct. 11-1.
I was trying to figure out if that was a trick question for a second or something.
No, it was not a trick question. It was not a trick question at all. So there's that. So feeling good, and for those who still have, because we've had some listeners who have Rangers, Diamondbacks exactas of some kind, so a lot of people still alive on this. But I gotta, you know, as great as the Diamondback season has been, feel great about the Phillies. I think the Astros Rangers is going to be tighter, of course. There's a couple tweets I want to get to just to, again, contextualize the Major League Baseball postseason, because, again, this says it all. We won't belabor the point because we talked about it ad nauseum earlier in the week, but this is from Jeff Passan over at ESPN, and the main point of his tweet, the combined 354 wins of these four teams is the fewest ever for the final four teams in the playoffs.
That's wild.
It says it all. It's been that way. And then Evan Grant This is how ridiculous the Major League Baseball season is. If the Rangers reach the World Series, they would have home field advantage no matter what. They had a better record than Arizona, and they own a tiebreaker over Philly, Kelly, for sweeping the opening series of the season. And when I say opening series, I'm talking about March 30th. They skipped a day, and then April 1st and April 2nd. The Rangers swept the Phillies. So just to let you know how ridiculous all of this is, that would determine home field advantage in a postseason if the Rangers and Phillies met a March 30th, April 1st, April 2nd
is that series. Is that the first tie? I hope that this is the first tiebreaker head-to-head record.
Best record.
Okay.
In what you finish in the regular season would be the first tiebreaker, and then it would be head-to-head.
Right. Okay.
Right. So there you go.
That is wild.
That's why, like, down the stretch, there was a little interest.
If only we've been talking all week about how much the regular season matters,
how much it should matter,
compared to the playoffs.
That's right. A regular season that has been rendered completely meaningless, the very first series of the regular season may determine home field. By the way, Castellanos, I don't know if you saw this after the game, Castellanos, who hit the two home runs in the fourth and the sixth for the Phillies, he was interviewed by... what was the reporter's name? Matt Weiner. I'm sorry. So sorry. Matt Weiner.
I didn't see the interview.
First of all, Castellanos was ornery because he made a statement. He was like, is that a question? Where's the question? But then he goes, Castellanos, this is a direct quote. I'm learning that the season and the postseason are completely different. Unquote. Yeah, Nick. Been trying to say it. Doesn't hurt us from a betting perspective, but yeah, baseball's got some questions they need to answer. Matt Brown, Week 6, NFL, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures, and year-long player props. Best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel. Give yourself an edge this season. Why don't you get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at vsin.com/subscribe. By the way, one more big betting thing happened last night, not just the NFL game and the baseball game last night, of course, but did you see how this college football game between West Virginia,
not till this morning,
and Houston ended?
Yeah. What did we have, 48 fourth quarter points?
42. So for those who missed it, West Virginia is a 3-point pre-flop favorite in this. Houston goes up 11 halfway through the fourth quarter. So you're like, all right, well, West Virginia tickets are dead. No, they score a touchdown. They get the 2-point conversion. So they're within three. Houston has to punt eventually. West Virginia gets the ball now down three with 1:17 left in the game at their own 12-yard line. So you're thinking, okay, well, they're going to try to go downfield and kick a field goal and force overtime. They end up 4th and 10 at midfield with 22 seconds left. So too far to kick a field goal. So it's Hail Mary time. Hail Mary converted, Garrett Green to Hudson Clement. Touchdown, West Virginia. They go up 39-35 with 12 seconds left in the game. They're celebrating. They're taking their helmets off. That's a flag. So they get the ball in Houston does in a much more favorable position than they would have with 12 seconds left in the game. They're at their own 43 to start the drive. Pardon me, with 7 seconds left. 8-yard play. Out pattern. So with 3 seconds left in the game, they're at the West Virginia 49. Hail Mary the other way. Donovan Smith to Stephon Johnson, who comes out of a scrum. You can't even see him on camera, and all of a sudden he emerges from it. Houston wins it 41-39. So the worst beat ever gets flip-flopped to the worst beat ever.
Yeah. That is wild.
I saw the replay
of that. The whole bat it up in the air.
Yeah.
Bat it down. Bat it down, kid. Not up in the air.
Knock it down. College football, it is what it is. Copyright Jeff Parlay.
Yeah, geez. Like, that is a great example of why I don't like betting college football very often. Because, yeah, like you say, what, celebration, penalty flag puts you in a position to get there on this, and then this happens.
Incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Brown joins us. He is the host of shows here at VSiN, of course, The Handle and of the All Angles podcast, which he does solo. He does, of course, the show at VSiN, The Handle with Mike Somich. He joins us now as he does each and every Friday. It's field goal day, baby.
It is.
How are you?
We're getting. I'm sick. I'm injured, and I'm still going to do it.
Oh, here we go.
Kelly. No. I'm sick, and I'm still doing it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. This is getting done today. Come hell or high water, it doesn't matter. We're doing.
There we go. He's sick and he's injured.
Yeah,
we're going with the righty too.
It's just we're going to at least give it a. Okay. We're going to give it a whirl, and then we'll go. See, real quick,
can we set it up? Yeah. 2 years ago, three of us used to do a show called Primetime Action. Would you call it the greatest show that ever has been disbanded at the network?
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's fair.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Matt was, you know, making outlandish claims like he invented the question mark. And one time we were watching college football. And what happened, Matt, exactly?
So the kicker got injured.
Yeah.
And they decided late in the game, in which a field goal was very important, to bypass the field goal.
That's right.
And try to go for it on fourth down. They didn't get it. They lose the game. And we're like, can no one make a 21-yard field goal? We're like, anyone. Like, I mean, seriously, like the punter can't make a 21-yard field goal to win the game. Oh, and I'm like, I can make a 21-yard field goal left-footed. And then it became, then the tweets started rolling in.
Steamrolled from there.
The tweets started rolling in. No, you could not. And I'm kind of like, I can make a 21-yarder left-footed. And then it kind of kept going and going and going from there. And I stand by this. That every punter should be able to make a 21-yard
field goal. I would agree with that.
Every punter should be able to walk. If you got to win the game, you can't make a chip shot field goal to win the game for your team. Come on.
So fast forwarding to today, 2 years later, now that the barometric pressure is precisely right for Matt Brown.
It's beautiful.
Wait, hold on. Let's be real. If this was the weather was right now and I didn't organize this over the past couple weeks and I called you up today and I was like, hey, can we do this in 2 weeks? Would your answer not be no? It's way too cold.
No, it's fine. But that's the reason I'm sick though. It's so.
It's been cold for one day.
You are so delicate.
It is the reason I'm sick because it's that weird time of year where it's 90 during the day, but then 50 at night.
Oh, and it's so tough.
So your body starts going, wait a minute. Is it 90 or is it 50? What is it? Is it as hot or is it cold?
Bro, and that's what's going on. Ever move to San Francisco. You'll get sick every block.
I will now. Yeah. No, San Francisco. I'm out on San Francisco,
any of the Sam.
I'm out. I'm out any of those.
He hates San Diego more than I've ever heard any person talk
about San Diego.
How can you hate San Diego?
The weather. I don't want to wear a jacket in June. That's why I don't want to wear a jacket in June. I just want to be able to go and live my life. Don't make me wear a jacket.
The number one reason why everybody says they love it, the weather. Yes. Matt hates it for that reason.
Did you guys watch the Prime Vision last night? I'm Facebook official with the Prime Vision broadcast. It is. I am in love with it.
Really?
I love it.
What do you love about it?
Well, I mean, you're sitting there watching and it will give you a little alert, which is pretty neat too. If the defense starts approaching the line, the AI can let you know where it looks like the defense is going to blitz and stuff. It'll say defensive alert. Then it follows the quarterback around during the play and it's constantly giving you a time to throw. So you know exactly how long he has to throw every single play. Then instantly, you know, too, as he throws it downfield, the guy catches the ball and it'll say plus 22 yards or plus two. So, you know, instantly how the gain on the play and all this.
A lot of information to soak in on a play.
Then the other thing that is actually really cool because you don't, you know, we rely so heavily on the replays and then the color guy. It's not great for color guys. Let me tell you, it's not great for color because they're like, watch this route he ran. And because we don't get to see the whole play develop and all.
Yeah.
So it's following the guys running the route. So as the guy catches, you see the little red line. You see what route he ran in order for the ball to get to him, right? Because it's following him along the way. It was fantastic. I'm in love with it. It's the only way I'm going to watch the Thursday night games from here going forward. Every broadcast should have this.
Okay, so I tried it either the beginning of this season when they started it or last season. Was this the first year on Amazon? I can't even remember.
No.
Last year, right? So is this the next gen broadcast or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This
I don't
is,
remember it being that good last year, though. It wasn't quite like that.
I remember watching it, and it was. I was a little overwhelmed by the information.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of information.
Yeah. The information was there. I just couldn't process it.
But if you're soaking this stuff up, you know, where like,
Kelly just said.
You start to realize, like, yeah, you're not going to get it all. Like, you just kind of have to focus on the stuff that you want to focus in on. But, yeah, it's
I mean, then you miss Al Michaels calling Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift good buddies.
Like, oh, is that what he said?
Good buddies.
Good buddies.
And y'all saw the, I know we haven't talked a bit about football yet, but you saw the Al Michaels thing come out earlier where he said he's never eaten a vegetable in his whole life.
Oh, I've seen that. That resurfaced because it's been out there for a while. Yeah.
I don't know why it like came back around, but then like, I guess somebody followed up with him again on it. And he was like, no, still to this day. Still to this day.
He's never had a vegetable.
Not one vegetable ever has entered his mouth.
I don't know if I believe him.
I kind of don't either because you think someone would have snuck something in his food.
Well, that's
somewhere
along the way. Well, so we've talked about this already,
knowingly,
right?
He hasn't eaten
like
a
vegetable. If you eat a chicken pot pie or a casserole or something, like there's diced up carrots and peas.
Al Michaels claims that knowingly he has never eaten a vegetable in his life. Yeah,
and then even when presented with the what about like a carrot? And then he was like, "Oh, absolutely."
Because I know how it tastes just by the look of it.
Yeah, absolutely not.
We should probably get your favorite football pick of the weekend before the break.
How about this? You know what's great about this is because my favorite one. Like, we don't even have to talk about it. So it's just kind of like move on or something. But it is one of those deals where we continue to talk about if you do not have a curated beat writer list. On the Twitter machine, you have to do this. Like, you have to get it. So, beat writer comes out, was like, hey, no sign of Deshaun Watson. You know, like, just say, like, you know, like, hey, I'm not reading in anything. He's like, hey, no sign of Deshaun Watson. I was tempted on the 49ers anyway because of how poorly, you know, how poorly basically that offense for the Browns has been, even when Deshaun Watson was in there anyway, and what a truck the 49ers have been. But then the guy's like, just saying, you know, hanging out here, and a lot of guys are taking some reps with like the first team and stuff. So I go and look. I'm like, it's still at 4.5. I was kind of tempted on it anyway. Put it in there, and I'm kind of like, worst case scenario, I have a ticket on a game that I had a lean on anyway, right, towards the 49ers. And then, of course, it comes out yesterday that he's, you know, going to be officially out.
Yeah.
Moves this thing all the way to 10 at some of the books out there. And it's just, in an information age right now, we were getting information at the exact same time that the books were. There was no way for them to adjust to that until, you know, a little bit later. And we saw, an hour later, you start to see that line start to move. But if you have that, and you know, like, if you saw how bad DTR was in that game, you know.
And it won't be DTR this time.
They're like, we're not even doing that again.
we're not going to try that.
Yeah, we're not going to try that again. That was a bad experiment. That went south real quick against the 49ers. So, that's obviously the favorite one because, you know, it's 4.5. It's 10 now.
Instead of DTR, it's going to be PJW.
Yes.
PJ
yes.
Walker.
And it's not going to be any better, probably.
That's right.
It's not going to be any better.
Maybe we'll try something else the next time. More with Matt Brown. He'll stick around with us all hour long. Talk week 6 in the National Football League. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches, they're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Bob Heening. He said, I miss Chrissy every week, but not having him around on Monday to refer to P.J. Walker as P.J. Harvey really hurts. That was always a Chrissy stable. This is from MineNFL.de. So this is our buddy in Germany who listens to the show. He says that he attended previous London games with both the Ravens and the Titans. The Ravens losing 44-7 to the Jaguars in 2017. The Titans losing a close one to the Chargers in 2018 when Vrabel decided to go for two at the end and it didn't work. He said he was credentialed for both and was in both losing locker rooms afterwards. And the main point he wants to get across, but both head coaches still the same. The Jaguars flew in well before back then. The Ravens on Friday at that point. Pretty sure the Titans and Chargers both flew in on Friday back then. Apparently, one coach learned from his mistakes. And that leads us right into one of your other picks. By the way, let me before we get to your pick on Baltimore, which has, I would imagine, everything to do with travel, if not most to do with travel. About San Francisco, obviously, that -4.5 doesn't exist. But the point is, it's a great case study of, as you said, the curated Twitter beat reporter stuff. And Kelly has mentioned this a few times off air. We are looking at a spread now and a total that I don't know that we ever remember seeing ever in the NFL, which is a total that is as low as, what, 35.5?
35.5, a couple different
places. And a spread that's as high as?
10.
I mean, do you ever remember that in the NFL?
I don't. I'm sure it's happened.
Probably before our time it happened.
Yeah, I'm sure it's happened. But we're in that. I mean, we're in the total range now where you, I mean, what, we see one of these a year, basically, where it's a bad weather situation and we get teams like this involved and the total gets that low. So, yeah, I can't remember seeing a double-digit spread when you're talking about total in the mid-30s.
Yeah.
That is worth mentioning, not only the backup quarterback situation, but it does look like we're kind of getting that whole 15-mile-an-hour sustained type situation with the gusts a little over 20 for that game. And so you add the backup quarterback in there, you have the San Francisco coming to town, and then everything equals what we're getting with this.
Okay, so back to the London game now, which is Baltimore as a right now a 4-point favorite against the Tennessee Titans. Famously, Baltimore has been, John Harbaugh specifically, has been thinking about what the what mine.de just talked about right here on Twitter, which is he's been planning this travel to be on the Monday right after basically the game they played this past weekend. They left on Monday because I know my guy on the practice squad, so that's when they left. And it basically, he's planned it for 4 months because that blowout stuck in his craw all these years. And unlike them, the Titans are just landing, I think, right about now in London. How much of this, because there's other reasons. I know Baltimore has got some guys back this week, too. What's the pie of all the reasons why you went with Baltimore here?
Yeah, and it's funny you bring this up, because talking about those curated Twitter lists, it said right here, one of the Tennessee guys just came through, said, off the plane and right onto the practice field, sluggish at first. It says, but seems to have a rhythm now. So,
yeah. Get back to me tomorrow on Sunday.
Yeah. Sluggish at first. Yeah. I'm sure you guys went over this, but I mean, the Ravens last week, that was the most unbelievable game I think maybe I've ever watched.
They should be 5-0.
The 8 official drops. The Zay Flowers 40 yards down the field. It doesn't count as an official drop.
The one where he's like this.
40,
he's like
40 yards down the field.
He's literally behind like the defense, up.
And
he's
then
like,
just falls over. That's not a drop because he just trips over his own feet, which should be another drop, right? I mean,
we can put a highlight reel together of Nelson Aguilar at this point of like, I'm free down the field. It went right in between my hands.
Yes, I know. And great, I'm on him. It's more just a numbers play on that as well. But then again, that game is not indicative of how they. I mean, that they should have put 35 points in that game. I mean, like 35 points in that game.
It's so funny. People wanted to blame Lamar afterwards. I was like, did you see the game?
Yeah. And listen, Harbaugh is not to be without blame in that game as well, right? I mean, you go towards the end of the first half there, and they choose to go for it on fourth down, and like the reasoning you go for it on fourth down in a lot of these situations is because if you don't get it, there's still a positive expectation because you're pinning the team so far down, right? There's only 12 seconds left in the half. So, one, how are you going to score a touchdown anyway in that short amount of time? So you aren't really gaining anything by going for it on fourth down. It's like a shorter field goal attempt that you're basically just trying to get to. And then and then on top of that, you got rid of the other part of this, which is pinning the team deep because all they did was go out and kneel on it whenever you didn't get it on fourth down. And so he's not to go without blame in that game as well. But, yeah, listen, Baltimore getting healthier each and every week, that's one of the things that I was looking for. I think this is kind of a market low on them. And then on the other side with Tennessee, that defensive line, one of the things we always say about them is you can't run on them. You can't run on them. The defensive line is the defensive line is too good. That defensive line is banged up to go along with a secondary they can't cover. And so Lamar threw it 38 times last week with a decent amount of success, had the guys just held on to they were open.
Yeah.
I mean, he was hitting them. It was just, they kept dropping it. You can't really run that poorly, I think, again. And which, Aguilar, we deal with it. it is what it is. He's going to drop passes. He's always had those type of hands. But the guy gets open. He should be able to get open in the secondary here. I only really need one catch, maybe a catch and a half, you know, for this to get home at 17. But here's the deal. If you're going to bet this prop, the receiving yards is the same as the rush and receiving yards prop. And like, he is just as easily could get one of those little end arounds or something like that to get you 3 yards, which helps you just to get there further on that. So just one of those little quirks whenever you go in, it's the exact same. The rush receiving is the same as the receiver.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt you to bet. I mean, maybe it's one of those screen passes that goes a little further backwards and it's a lateral technically. Who knows?
Aguilar over 17 and a half rushing slash receiving. Yeah. Let's cut to a shot of Matt on Sunday with Aguilar dropping a pass. Come on!
Or he catches a 24-yarder and then does one of those, like, runs around. He does get an end around and then runs around in the backfield for 19 yards and then takes the side. You know, there is always that whenever you take that type of bet.
You got one more side here, one more straight side.
Yeah.
You're taking the Patriots and the points.
Yeah, man. And listen, no one hates the Patriots more than me. Like, seriously. I came into the season hating this team. I think that this team is absolute gutter trash, but I do believe that we are getting kind of we're getting the bottom here on this team. Like, we are getting the absolute bottom on this team, and they're playing another bad team. The Raiders are bad. The Raiders are bad. The defense is bad. And so if you are trying to find kind of the silver lining here for this Patriot squad, it would be that they do get to play up against this defense this week, right? I mean, if you look and, like, yes, Mac Jones has looked terrible, but they played the Eagles, right? They played the Jets. They played the Cowboys. They played the Saints. Like, these are all good defenses that he's gone up against, right? And so you at least now get a defense that can be had. And so we will find out. If Mac Jones is absolutely, truly a bottom five NFL quarterback, then we're going to find out this week. Because if he can't get anything going against his Raiders team, then I'm already all out on him except for this one specific week.
Like, and then, by the way, not to go on a tangent, but then what do they do if that's the case? Like, if he's just terrible this week,
I know it's not the Belichick way or something like that. They should punt on the season. They really and truly should. In that division with the Bills and the Dolphins, it's over anyway, is right now.
Of course.
And so you lose this game, you should be seriously looking at punting on the season. There are legitimately, I know you guys probably talk about it with other guests on the show, but I mean, there are legitimately 4 to 7 guys that are now in the real discussion as potential first rounders from a quarterback perspective. I know we always get all hyped up about quarterbacks and stuff, but There are 7 different guys that are at least in conversations about, this front office likes this guy and this whatever.
With the wild card being Caleb Williams, you know, having the position of, I may not want to even come out at all.
Yeah, I might stay.
Yeah.
You know, there's that for sure. And honestly, it depends on who gets these picks, right? And what they want to do with that. And so I just look at the Patriots and they don't have any dudes. And if you don't have a quarterback to go along with not having any dudes, like, it's not Patrick Mahomes' situation. You could look at that roster this year and outside of Kelsey just go, what is this team? You know, I mean, it's just a whole bunch of, like, threes masquerading as twos and ones. But you have Patrick Mahomes, so you have the wild card. You don't have that with the Patriots, right? Like, he can't just be out there with a bunch of dudes and make things happen. That's not Mac Jones.
Yeah. Let's squeeze in your other prop here before the break. You had one more prop.
Yeah, Josh Downs over 44.5 receiving yards. If you kind of dig in, Josh Downs is getting about the same target share and is running the same amount of routes out there as Pittman is, and yet his receiving total is below that of Pittman because, again, he's just viewed as this obvious number two guy. Like, he's obviously the number two, but
Talking about the Colts, right?
And honestly, if anything, it's a little bit of a bump from a receiving perspective. You want to take a receiving prop, the Gardner Minshew is going to be out there. He's not as dynamic of a player as Anthony Richardson. We definitely know that, but I think we would all not argue here he's a more accurate passer at this stage in his career than Anthony Richardson is. And so Josh Downs in a game in which I think can kind of be a little bit more back and forth than we think. The Jags, you can't run on them anyway. You have to pass. They are a pass funnel defense. That front four has been really, really good against the run. So I think the Colts are going to have to put it in the air, and we only need 45 yards out of that guy.
All right. More with Matt Brown. He's co-host of The Handle and, of course, the host of the All Angles podcast. He's got a total. He's got a money line parlay this year, not a teaser, a money line parlay. We'll get into that next.
A numbers game on Visa. VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Michael Lafon, who says the Chiefs receivers do not get open. The last 2 weeks, the receivers had less than 20 yards at halftime. They need help at the trade deadline. Jason H. 11, I've got $50 on can't kick, got a hammy. That's, he has no confidence in you, man.
Just take the note.
$50 on
it.
Can't kick, got a hammy.
I mean, we're hours away, so there's no, like, I mean, unless I get, I'm leaving here to go to the gym, unless I break up something.
You're right. Yeah, yeah.
This is very like possible. Happening. Very possible.
I mean, unless I break a something.
Right. I haven't asked you this in quite a while, but when we did set this up initially 2 years ago or whatever, their bets were pouring in.
Yeah.
Yes. Against you. Is that still alive?
I mean, the friends that bet against me don't know that this is happening today, so I'll fill them in on the depending on the result.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is from David Shalafour. Hey, Gil, did you know this is about Kelly messing up the Travis Kelce joke and saying Jason Kelce was dating Taylor Swift? You said, hey, Gil, did you know that Kelce Grammer is dating Taylor Swift? I did not know that. Scotty B, 726, Phillies won just in time to compete with Monday Night Football. I think he's joking about that. Joe Nigro, after not knowing who he was on the first broadcast, do you think that Al Michaels is hanging out with his man 2 Chainz talking about the 10.5-point spread these days?
Oh my God. Like, Al Michaels on these broadcasts is becoming my favorite thing. Like, it is just, yes.
He doesn't care anymore.
He doesn't.
You can tell.
That's what it is. Anymore. Yes.
The toxic cocktail of dad jokes and cringy moments.
Yeah.
J.M. Kuhn. Oh, thank you for this, J.M. Kuhn at Sarcavstick. He goes, thanks for doing the pod despite all that's going on outside of meaningless football. He says, thank you for, I do appreciate that. Thank you very much. Rick Olier, after Mateo misses them.
Whoa.
Wow. After Mateo misses the field goal, can we get a new bet from a library on if Kelly can type a 3-paragraph page without getting kicked out for being too loud? Very heavy handed typer. Kelly is.
Yeah, wow.
Very
wow.
Yeah. We already have the next one with Kelly. Remember the free throw one? Where he said he could shoot better than Shaq's percentage.
That's right. That's right.
We have that.
Negotiating that.
Yeah.
By the way, are you getting a spray tan in this, or did that go by the wayside?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't. Hey, I set up the kick. Matt's got to set up the spray tan. Yeah, I said if he did the kick, I'd do it.
No, you're right.
So
we got it.
Shea Heesacker. I went to bed in the third quarter of the West Virginia-Houston game and looked at the score this morning and assumed it went to overtime. I probably would have learned how I lost the game eventually today, but it was somehow easier hearing it from you and Kelly, I guess. There's one more from Scotty B726. He says, what's the over-under on Matt Brown hating Tennessee on Sunday? We're already there. We already got there. And then just to follow Vison, I won't belabor it more, because it's 51 degrees, windy and drizzly in southeast Wisconsin right now, and there's like a million people just dealing with it. It's called weather, bro. I have an image of Matt Brown in a Snuggie eating soup after his spot.
Listen, I'm used to getting shamed on the Twitter machine. You know, you make picks and talk about things and you get them wrong and people want to... This first weather shame, though, guys.
And you know what? As much as I want to make fun of Matt for some of the weather things, like
he sticks to his guns.
I moved to Vegas knowing I'm not moving. When I moved here at the time, it was I'm not moving anywhere where it snows. So yes, like this was a decision by me. And and one of the best things about living here is no mosquitoes. No, that's not even weather related.
No mosquitoes.
Yeah, no bugs.
I can't visit my mom. She says, why won't you visit me? Because it's July. I'm going to get eaten to death. No.
No bugs. No real, like, natural disaster stuff that we have to deal with. Yeah. Like, any of that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of upside.
Real quick, before we get your last picks. Yeah. I was talking about the Nick Castellanos interview after the game. Matt Weiner was interviewing after. The Phillies just elated. Just won the NLDS. They're about to go to the NLCS. Matt Weiner is talking to Castellanos. And he makes a statement. Like, the equivalent of me saying, Matt Brown, your hair is groomed well today. And then he just puts the mic in Nick Castellanos. Like, it's not a question. It's a statement. Yeah. And Castellanos says, is there a question? You thought it wasn't. He wasn't being mean. You thought he just didn't understand what was happening.
My read on it, because at first I got the same thing y'all did, and then I rewatched it. It's loud. Everyone's screaming. There's all kinds of stuff going on. I thought he maybe thought he missed the question.
Oh, okay.
Because he said, what was the question? And the guy goes, there wasn't one.
I thought he said, was there a question?
I thought he said, here we go. Now, right. So maybe I could be wrong.
I can't break the tie because I didn't see it.
I thought he said, what was the question? And then the guy goes, there wasn't one.
Oh.
And then he goes, Oh, well, thanks for telling me then. Thanks for telling me that little, you know, that little nugget.
You know, it's my favorite part of when these series end. It's not just that they celebrate Gil every time. It's that there's someone out there that someone tweets about it that you expect would have known this by now. But they're like, wait, do they really celebrate after every
after
one of these?
Every round, it's my favorite thing. These celebrations are getting more over the top. Yeah. It's like you won the division series.
Yeah, you
haven't
really
relax.
Done a whole lot. Yeah.
You don't really. And Castellanos, for those who missed it, then famously said, "I'm learning that the season and the postseason are completely different things." You didn't get my Castellanos reference in the first one. I said that whole thing about I'm a man of faith, and then it was the whole Marty Brenneman thing. Anyway, this whole thing. When he was awkwardly issuing an apology for something he had said, and then Castellanos hit a home run in the middle of it, and he had to like return to the play-by-play in the middle of this whole Mein Kampf thing.
Oh God!
All right, you have a total.
Yeah, this Bears Vikings pretty easy, I think, from the handicapping standpoint. Now, where their plays out, I don't really know or not, but I mean, you're looking at a team in the Vikings when you miss out on Jefferson. I mean, he is the guy that really does make the offense go. And I think they'll be fine at some point down the line. I think that they're going to throw the ball a ton. I think they will still score some points, but very first game without Jefferson. And honestly, if you look at the Bears from an injury report perspective, they've been horrible on the defensive side of the ball, but they do get back. It looks like, anyway, we'll see the official injury report later today. It looks like they're going to get back three starters, and two of those guys are in the secondary as well. And so now, not as appealing, I think, to go up against this Bears squad, specifically if you're the Vikings as well. It hadn't gone really in my direction a ton. It's sitting 44.5 to 44 now, so not a lot of people agreeing with me on this one, but I think that both these teams struggle to score a little bit here. And this is also could be one of those weather situation games as well.
Could be, yeah.
Again, never been to meteorologist school.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's important. As much as we bring it up in a week like this, like it's still a long time before Sunday when these games actually kick off, weather changes. But I mean, Matt, from where my kind of scouting on the weather situations were, this looked like the, as of right now, the windiest projected game, I believe, of all the ones that we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Now,
was that a question?
Yeah.
So we should do that every time now. Just the meanest possible answer. Was that a question? Was there a question in there? So this one I like because it gives us a chance to just reiterate a point, which is you have a money line parlay here, not a teaser.
Correct.
A lot of us, many throughout sports betting media, we're all guilty of this at times, talk about teasers. When it's about, you know, basically taking teams down to essentially have to win, but it's usually like -1, let's say. And we just assume, which is bad, as we know, because it makes a bad person out of a couple people involved. We just sort of assume that the pricing is going to be favorable, but I love that you have a Rams-Eagles money line parlay here at -120.
Yeah, and it was the same price as a teaser. So again, you should have multiple outs. You guys that live rest of country have tons of different books to choose from. You can go in and you can just mess around with all this and just check it out. I mean, it might not work for you depending on, you know, your book of choice and all that. It did work out on my end. I think it will work out on your end if you kind of go in and look at some of these out there. But yeah, it's no point in leaving the 1 point on there when you can just get the same price that you're getting on a moneyline parlay for the two squads here. And Eagles team, I don't know why they're not getting a ton of respect. I mean, they're still undefeated. They've gone out and they've taken care of business. And if you want to argue to me that, okay, well, they haven't played their A-plus game yet. And you know, they still look like this. They're trying to figure things out. I mean, couldn't the same thing be said about the Chiefs? And yet we want to do is heap praise on the Chiefs. I don't know. I don't get it.
Our buddy, Dr. Mr. Eric Eager, he's a big sort of Philly. He makes that counter argument about Philly. He was like, last year, he goes, what's their best win? Detroit. They had Cooper Rush when it was Dallas. They got their spate of injuries at quarterback in the playoffs against the 49ers. So, and now he looks at this season, and he's right. Like, some of the wins on the scoreboard aren't impressive. And he doesn't think Jalen Hurts is as fast. He's got his opinions on that. And we love Eric Eager. I'm with you, though, where I'm just like, if you watch the Eagles play, the scoreboard does not reflect the domination of some of these games.
Yeah, no, they go in and just steal your soul.
Oh, they kill you.
Yeah, they just steal your soul. And it doesn't necessarily mean lighting up the scoreboard, but it's these 7-minute drives in which the defense at the end is like, I don't want to play anymore. I can't go out there.
Go ahead. Push us out of here. Yeah,
I can't do this anymore. Like, yeah. You know,
I think the other one with that comparison, Matt, it's like I think you're right. I don't think we've seen the best out of the Chiefs or the Eagles yet, but I think that Chiefs wide receiver thing is actually a thing. Whereas, like, the Eagles, no, I just don't think you've seen the best yet. Like, there's no area of real concern for me on this team.
Yeah, and honestly, I think, though, top to bottom, not the greatest betting week. I honestly didn't love a ton of these.
I'm with you, too, man. Yeah. It was slim pickings, generally.
Yeah, not the best betting week for all that. Quit weather shaming me. More people, stop this. I live in Las Vegas on purpose. I like heat. I like the heat. I like the sun.
That's your parting shot on us.
I don't like rain. I don't like snow.
Matt Brown being filmed kicking field goals, making outlandish claims later today. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it as always, man. The Handle. Weekends here at the network, and of course, the All Angles podcast, which Matt talks only about football. We'll come back. College football next with Dr. Bob.